The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
Have you ever encountered a counterfeit bill in your own monies? No one wants it, and yet sometimes it does happen. So did you recognize the fraud yourself, or did someone have to point out to you that it was a fake? How did you find out that it was a fake? How could you tell? And did you know that the FBI trains their agents to spot counterfeit money by having them spend hours and hours looking at various denominations of money? Apparently, one of the ways to recognize fake money is to spend a lot of time and effort with the real thing. Interesting. A lot of times with a lot of money. Wouldn't that be interesting? Probably for a lot of us, that would be interesting. I want us to take a look at the procedure that the FBI uses. Now, we're going into the FBI documentations. It's not that kind of procedure, but that principle that they use, spending a lot of times with the real stuff to be able to recognize what's the fake stuff. We can learn an important principle from the way the FBI goes about training their agents to be able to recognize fake money. In other words, spending a lot of time with the real money. For us, as God's people, we need to understand this principle, and that is when we are well acquainted with something, say, like the Word of God, it is then when it becomes much more easier for us to spot error or to spot something that is inconsistent or something that is fake. Our minds need to automatically send up red flags. In this message, we are going to discuss some crucial issues involved in detecting and combating heresies, the fake stuff. I have entitled this message today, Truth versus Error. First of all, brethren, I think that we need to know how to sort through what we believe. We need to sort through why we believe what we believe. And then, if necessary, we need to prove it over and over and over as part of God's salvation process. I mean, after all, God's word tells us to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. There's another alternate translation that says, and hold fast to that which is correct. Isn't that what we want to do? Isn't that exactly what we're talking about? Because you also see, brethren, the instructions that we find in this verse is more than just a suggestion or more than just a good idea. Consider this, if you would. The reality of the heresies of the first century church should help us to comprehend just how important it is that we be on persistent guard, and that we never give up on our ongoing efforts to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as well as to vigorously continue our quest for pure truth. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, how can we grow in his grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Spending a lot of time with him. Go with me to Psalm 25 and verse 5. Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. And you am I involved in your word, learning, praying, studying, trying to grasp more and more about what you are and who you are and what your word is and how you want me to live this way of life. I also have in my notes right here, you can also see Psalm 43 and verse 3. Not going to read it, but you can. Because you see, brethren, those early believers had God's pure truth. And we also need to understand that it had been rightly presented to them by God through Paul and other faithful servants. Notice, if you will, what Paul warned the Galatians about those who had deliberately came among them with false doctrines, false teachings, and with dangerous agendas. So go with me to Galatians 2 and verse 4. Galatians 2 and verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately, or they infiltrated. And it goes on to say, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they may bring us into bondage. What a horrible thing. It is saying exactly what it's saying here. There were some who came into the early church for the purpose to bring them false teachings, to bring them back into bondage. That's what this is saying. Go with me to Galatians now, chapter 1 and verse 6. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. In the churches of God at both Galatia and Corinth, there was even among them an assault regarding the teaching of another Jesus, a counterfeit Jesus, a fake Jesus, if you want to call it that. Paul told them, he was warning them, that some of them, some of the believers there, some of the members there, were putting up with too much. He told them that they were actually listening and paying attention to the false statements that were being made to them. He told them that they were too willing to listen. Today, many believers, Church of God believers, can easily be caught up and the multitude of words and clever false teachings all over the internet. There's a commercial out sometime, I haven't seen it in a while, where the woman is talking to a man and he says, well, why do you believe that? And she says, well, because it's on the internet and everything there is truth. It isn't, brethren. It isn't. It's a bunch of lies. They want to get us going in a wrong direction. No matter what the subject is. No matter what the subject is. So people need to be careful, especially the people of God. I want you to listen with me and then take the advice that God presents in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. 19:27. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to stray from the words of knowledge. Early believers faced teachings about another Jesus. I made that statement just a moment. Go with me to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 4. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, that sounds really interesting, you know, just to read it straight in the King James. I want to read this in a couple of other translations to get a bigger part of the picture here. The New King James, that last part, says, you may well put up with it. That's closer. International Standard Version, that's a real alternate translation. I'm going to read the whole verse. It says, for if someone comes along and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or should you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you are all too willing to listen. How do you think years ago when the church started going off track, how do you think it was that so many people stayed with the false teachings? They were too willing to put up. They were too willing to listen. The red flags didn't go up for many people. Now, many of us that went up, and not only just red flags, but there were horns and whistles and bells and sirens and all these other things going off for some of us, and that's good. But think about it this way. Church members so easily going astray may have initially shocked Paul, yet what we find is he very quickly had to begin to sternly warn these Church of God members. In other words, they were being seduced with counterfeit doctrines and teachings and descriptions of another Jesus. Sadly, some were caving in and being led away from truth. We've seen it. We can name names. Apparently, there had actually been somewhat of a flurry of false teachers coming into the church. So by the time of John's writings, mid to late 90s A.D., there were a multitude of wrong teachings, including Antichrist doctrines, that were coming into the church. And this apostle John was having to warn the church against these. Go with me to 1 John 4 and verse 3. 1 John 4 and verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is the Christ is coming, that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, against Christ, teaching contrary to Christ, what he is, what Jesus was, who he was, and those, all of that. Whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Apparently, the preaching of horrible doctrinal errors had quickly followed the clear and correct preaching of the good news of God to the known world. There are a number of warnings against false teachings in the New Testament. Paul and other faithful men had to contend, as it says, for the faith once delivered. Jude, a half-brother of Jesus, one of the half-brothers of Jesus, earnestly exhorted God's people to contend for the truth. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Jude 1 and verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, if you look this up and study all of the words, and I'm not really trying to prove all of that at this point, I'm just making the statement, but this that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. Actually, what he's saying is don't allow anything to come in. Don't allow these false things coming in. Just keep it away from you. Contend for is a good word here, though. Jude had to do this to help protect the truth, to help protect the faith from that which was being twisted, that which was being watered down, and that which was being replaced by clever counterfeits in the church of God. And please also realize, brethren, every one of us as believers and followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to beware that which also can present itself as an heir of truth, but denies the power of God. That's what Scripture tells us. It sounds good, but if it's denying the power of God, it says, well, let's read it, 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I don't care who's stating it. It doesn't make any difference who he is. It doesn't make any difference how he's presenting it. This is the warning to us. Also need to remember this, brethren. The biblical principle that teaches us that things are established by two or three witnesses. Let me show you that. That's back in Deuteronomy 17:6. At the mouth of two witnesses or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. And brother, why I'm reading this and I want us to understand is this principle can easily be related to proper doctrine. In other words, we need to be able to prove it with at least two or three witnesses. Scriptures are witnesses. Doctrine should never be based upon one obscure verse, nor should it ever stray away from God's pattern of doing things. How does God do it? If it's taking us away from that, red flags, red flags, red flags. Brethren, when we have invested ourselves in obeying the truth, and by that I am meaning living the truth, Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4, Jesus tells us that we should do that, we are naturally going to be more on guard to protect the truth and allowing only truth to enter into our minds. But we're going to have to be on guard. We're going to have to be living it as a way of life, which is what Jesus was telling us. Therefore, as we begin to differentiate and to sharpen our powers of recognizing truth versus error, then I would say that we all need to always require that the words be in harmony with God and his nature of love. Am I saying these things because I know of illustrations that have been in the church that have taught these things contrary? Yes, yes. So we need to be aware. And of course, I also think that we should understand that it is God's Spirit that is the teacher of truth. That's what we're told. That's in John 16:13. But when he should be it. But when the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is come, it will guide you into all truth. For it shall not speak of itself, but whatsoever it shall hear, that shall it speak, and it will show you things to come. Okay, another vital issue in recognizing truth versus error, and along with that, not allowing ourselves to be deceived, is walking with God and obeying God and quickly repenting when we falter. We're all going to do that from time to time. We must never hold on to a sin. Brethren, we need to grasp, I'm not saying that you don't understand this, but it needs to be stated here that is when we hold onto a sin, any sin, we make ourselves vulnerable to Satan's devices. 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The deceivableness of unrighteousness. They were listening to, they were handling counterfeit doctrines and beliefs. Therefore, we must be aware of Satan's devices. We must be constantly aware so as not to be fooled. Truth versus error. Okay, another component of proper discernment of truth versus error is to beware of that which adds to Scripture or changes Scripture. Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse 18. For if I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. God doesn't think much about people who add to what the book says, what the Bible says, does he? And if any man take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. In spite of our curiosity for mysteries and new and unusual things, God's word warns us to avoid certain things. Notice Paul's words to Timothy over here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 20. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be unto you. Amen. As we can see, we've seen a few places, those early believers faced many challenges, including many heresies. 2 Corinthians 11. Go with me there. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceiving workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The Bible also warns us that we are living in the last days. There will be even false teachings, more false teachings, and more false teachers and counterfeit doctrines that are brought in. That's what we're told. 2 Peter 2, 2 Peter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation stumbles not. In other words, this is going to happen. Those who bring this in, we know the end result is going to be not good for them. But we can still be caught up in it during the meantime. And that's the point. There are some prophecies that tell us that the end time believers will live through a period of great sinfulness and great apostasy. In fact, the entire third chapter of 2 Timothy addresses these issues. See also 2 Thessalonians 2, where the Bible mentions the man of sin. That could play in. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, brother, I think here we need to ask, what is a believer to do today? We have all these warnings, and I've just touched the surface. Well, I'd like for us to notice some of the steps that are clear for us, real clear out of the scriptures. One of those steps that is clear is that we must all really know and know that we all know the scriptures. That's where it starts. You see, brethren, when we know the Bible well enough, we can spot the phony or bogus doctrines and the counterfeit ones. That's what I was mentioning earlier. The red flag should go up when somebody tries to bring in some false teaching in our midst. Red flags, red flags. Yeah, we may not just want to jump in and say, heresy, heresy. We probably want to check it out. But if you know that it's false, hey, it's false. Then we can spot opinions versus scripture. Therefore, we must really study God's word, not just read it. Reading the Bible, or reading articles about the Bible, or reading a magazine, or whatever else the case may be, is not reading and studying the Bible. Reading the Bible is not enough either. We must study the Bible. I've in times past gone over different forms and ways of doing Bible study. If anybody needs any update on that, let me know. We can do that. Another thing in regards to the Word of God is, brethren, this is a really important point to me, and that is we need to have a love affair with the Bible, with the Word of God. It's not just something that we read once in a while, or even studies once in a while. There has to be a real love affair for that. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus in print. I am the Word. I am the bread of life. This is what he tells us. And there has to be this real love affair. I mean, after all, the Bible is the standard. It's not a suggestion how we live. It is the standard by how people are to live their way of life if they're going to be part of the kingdom, part of the family of God. We want that. When we have carefully and thoroughly laid our foundation through real Bible study, we will easily recognize those things that are not consistent with our foundation. But there has to be the foundation. Now, I know in a lot of this, I'm talking to people who've been doing this for years and years. Well, a lot of those people back in the Old Testament church, New Testament church, they had been there for years and years. The churches had been around. John is warning them in the 90s. So just because we've been around a long time doesn't exclude us. We're all needing to take, and if it applies to us, we go, yes, thanks, this is good information. We all need it. If it shakes us in some kind of way, then thank God for that. But it's the standard. We need to have it. We need to have carefully and thoughtfully laid out our foundation, and then we can see what is not real. We also must love the truth enough so that we will not be likely to be fooled or deceived. If you occasionally study or occasionally read it, you're going to be somewhat familiar, but people can still be deceived. We have to have this real love affair. We have to use the Bible as the standard for our life. And we have to be very, very careful every day in how we approach life. Paul had to warn the believers in the early church in Thessalonica. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. I read this earlier, but it applies here. He had to warn them, and it's written here. It's a warning for all of us. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Love of the truth. Applies to us, yes or no? Like the Church of God believers in Berea, we need to search the scriptures daily. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, described the believers in that area more like this. Well, let's go with me to Acts 17. Let's just read the verse. Acts 17 in verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily where these things were so. In other words, they were searching the scriptures on a daily basis to prove these things to be right or to validate them as true teachings or to repudiate the false teachings. They were on guard. They did this daily. And you look it up, and that's what it says. It's a daily into it, studying it, praying over it, really holding fast to the Word of God. This is not just an occasional thing that we're to be doing. Please also realize, brethren, being naive or unfamiliar with scriptures, that can easily cause us to be led astray. Today in our 21st century culture, we're being taught. It's being pounded up into us, whether we're red flags go up or whatever, but we're being taught to put up with all kinds of sin, and America appears to be growing more and more rapidly in evil spiritism. And we need to be on guard against this, recognizing that it's there starts. Then whenever it starts coming up, we need to take action against these. It's in commercials, it's in songs, it's in movies, it's in TV shows. All of these things that I'm talking about here are there. And it hits us all day, every day. We need to be on guard. So, brethren, we need to ask, are we, you and I, and you can put your name there, are we hearing God or are we hearing the world? Go with me to 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 1. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Are we listening to God? This is God speaking to us. Or are we listening more to the world? God's people need to know how to test the spirits to stay on God's righteous paths. There are some naive people, and yes, and I have run across some of these within the Church of God, that think just because someone has said that they have had a visit from spirits that they must know something important. Yes, I've had people basically tell me that. Oh, it's got to be important. Curiosity has caught many people off guard. There are topics that people say, oh, have you studied into this? And I go, no. Oh, why? It's the craze on the internet, or it's the this, or it's that. You need to study in this. And I go, no, I don't. I already know enough about it to know that it's going to eventually take somebody away from God if they hang in there long enough with it. That's what tends to happen. Why would we be studying these things that are contrary to God's way of life? I mean, I can't come up with a reason. And I say this because just because doctrinal statements are attached to miracles, some people may succumb to doctrinal lies. However, the Bible talks about false wonders. And that's for our time, our age. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. I'm going to read this verse out of the New American Standard Bible. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. You think these are just words, and it's not really out there. It's out there. It's among us. Turn on the TV. Pay attention. It's there. So we ask, is it obvious what is the spirit behind the words that anyone is telling you? I mean, do you know? And if you don't know, I suggest turn it off, stop listening, stop paying attention to it. This is how we're to be every word of God. Do we have this down pat? We've got it pretty well memorized. We're living by every word in here. We might be able to look into other things. Until then, not so much. Also, brethren, always keep in the forefront of our minds and our thinking that proper discernment between truth and error about God and His plan requires the Spirit of God. The reason is because our fleshly carnal mind cannot receive the things of God. That's what we're told. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. It's just an everyday walking around human being. They cannot understand the things of God. That's what this says. I didn't write it. I just read it. But that is what it is saying. So why even consider that? They're not looking at it anyway. We also, brethren, must hold on to what we have proven and reproven, and then we hold fast to that which is good, proving all things. We read that earlier, 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Here, I want us to ask a few questions. I want us to consider these questions, every one of us. Is our understanding of the Bible deep or shallow? I'm not asking for answers. I'm asking for you to ask it and you to answer yourself. Is it even possible that we are prepared and remain prepared to earnestly contend? Remember, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Are we prepared that we can even do that? Another question. Do we know enough? Do we know enough, I mean, of this book? I'm not the standard, but I'm just make the statement. I've been doing this many more years than 50 years, around 55 years I've been doing this. I know that I do not know enough. Are we thoroughly convinced and convicted that this Bible is the standard, is the way of life? Brother, I want us all to remember A popular teaching may not be a right teaching. It doesn't matter how many people are saying it, how many different church groups are saying it, where you're getting it from. A whole lot of people are saying it. It may not be right. It has to be proven out of the Word of God. It either is or it isn't. And that's where we need to be. And I think we all should be at the place where we surely understand and know that we do not believe a person just because he is a good speaker with a good command of the English language. I'm making this statement because I was told this one time of a church pastor. Oh, he was teaching things wrong. And they would say, oh, but he's such a good speaker and he has a good command of the English language. Yes, but it's not true. You know, and that's what we have to understand. Or even just because he's a really nice guy, which was another thing they would tack onto it. And the thing goes, yeah, he was a really nice guy. He was also teaching wrong things to the church of God. A couple of questions to consider. Is the speaker's motive righteous? And then another question to consider is, could the speaker be honest and yet wrong? Brother, we should never believe anyone simply because they have memorized a lot of scriptures. I'm not saying it's wrong to memorize a lot of scriptures. I mean, back when I was ambassador to college, it was the love of the professors to see how many people could memorize all the memory verses they gave us. So we had to memorize a lot of scripture. That doesn't mean anything other than by itself. Because I want us to understand the devil and the demons know who God is. They know who God is. And they probably know the scriptures and they probably can quote them. James 2 verse 19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. The demons also believe and tremble. But it means nothing to them. Therefore, let each one of us set our minds and our hearts on never being caught up in false doctrine. And truly, brethren, there are many many Bible verses that state there will be much more of this prophesied about this topic and the things we're looking at in the end time than what we've looked at today. We also need to always remember that it is the truth that makes us free. Truth is, as we saw in the Duma Bible Study Word Study, which we looked at, is Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. It's the Word of God. Your word is truth. And that is true. And then we looked at that from many different ramifications. But go with me to John 8 and verse 31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Now you actually look this up, it means, it's not talking about just continuing it. It means practice this as a way of life. Put it in effect, living by every word of God. That's what this is implying. This is what it is saying. Then you're going to be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Brother, I want us to conclude by going to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Read one verse, verse 20. Isaiah 5 and verse 20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, any way you want to look at this, what this is describing is counterfeit. He says, woe to those who do that. So, brethren, without any doubt, we are to know and to know that we know the difference between truth versus error. the Aaronic blessing, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. We are blessed as the people of God with truth versus error and how to know the difference. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.